Thank you, Colin. I don't know why my eyes were watering. I think it must be an allergy, but certainly so appropriate for today. I want you to turn with me for our text this morning in Luke chapter 10, reading verses 38 through 42, the account of Jesus visiting the home of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Scripture makes no reference to Mary and Martha being married or having children, but I think their distinct roles and personality have something to say to us as we honor mothers today. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Will you bow with me as we pray? Father, how thankful we are for our mothers, for the work that they do in cooking and housekeeping and caring for family, the drudgery, sometimes late into the night, keeping house. But we're thankful, Lord, that your hand is upon them, that they've been chosen for a unique and special task and calling. And Lord, it's not just for mothers, but I pray each of us would learn what it means to choose the thing that stays with us, that nurtures our relationship with you, whatever our work, whatever our task. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my mother passed away a long time ago. I have many precious memories. I don't remember the mother that nurtured me as an infant along with my twin sister, but I've seen pictures and heard stories of having a baby in each arm, squalling about who's get the next to nurse. But I do remember the mother that suspended her teaching career, which extended later to 40 years, to spend time at home with two preschool children that fought more than they loved on each other. It was a challenge to learn to share things. Now, I remember her teaching us her ABCs, our numbers, our colors, the shapes of objects, but even before we started school, had memorized a scripture verse that began with each letter of the alphabet. I remember later during my school days, that stern disciplinarian who took no nonsense as far as obedience to our task and chores. I can remember as she stuffed clothes into that wringer washer and then hung them out on a clothesline. Stack of laundry and ironing late into the night as we watched television, keeping the task done. Coming in from school and preparing supper for us each night. My most vivid memories are her time in the nursing home before she died at 95, when I would have the occasion as much as I could to stop by and visit her. She didn't know who I was, but her face brightened and the smile crossed her face, and she gave me the biggest hug. She knew I was someone very special, and I was. You know, all of us, and I think mothers that I've known, and certainly my wife and family and others, would like to be a Mary. We would like the luxury of just that devotional time and spending time with the Lord, but Colin, sometimes it's midnight before they can get around to it, and not many willing to pay the price. And though we'd like to be more like Mary, I think most mothers identify with Martha. Because the responsibilities of caring for the things of the home and for the family are not optional. And I'm Every time I read this, I'm just a little amazed and somewhat chagrined at the words of Jesus of somewhat chiding Martha that she should even want Mary to help her. I mean, here's a whole gang of people. It's not just a couple of house guests that drop by. I mean, it's a whole horde of people. I mean, water has to be provided for washing feet. Got to go to the market. Got to cook. These are hungry men. And cleaning house and getting meals done and everything is pretty reasonable. She wanted a little help with it, don't you think? And yet the Lord seemed to chide her for making that her priority instead of being secondary. You know, I can kind of identify with this in recent years as I've taken on more and more the responsibilities of taking our house, dusting furniture, vacuuming, doing the laundry, cooking our meals, having to go to the grocery store, keeping adequate food in the pantry, and as well as the yard work that I've always done. It gets pretty demanding all the time. Now, fortunately, I don't have to have kids along with that. I can pretty well manage it. I'm a strategic planner, and so I organize housework. My grocery list coincides with where it is in the grocery store. I don't have to wander around. You know, I just follow my list and it naturally follows. I love strategic challenges. And I don't know what I would do with children in the house and having to do all of that as well. We used to have grandkids week when our daughter and her family would come home from the mission field in the summers and get together with their cousins, three boys, three girls, and leave their parents at home, just us and the grandkids. It was a fun time. Had to keep them busy. Boy, trouble developed if we didn't keep them going, keeping them active. Well, one summer, we'd planned this big week, and I'm not sure what it was, but Bobby had to make a trip. I think our daughter was having surgery or something, just had to go and be in with her, and so we were going to have to cancel grandkids week. Well, they were so disappointed. Especially the three boys who were older than the girls. Now, a couple of them were too young to kind of come and be away from parents at that stage, but the boys, they really looked forward to this. So we decided they would come and just, he and granddaddy would have the you know, grandkids week. And so as they got there, I said, now, Boo Bob, as they call Bobby, he wasn't going to be there. I said, so we've got three rules. Now, no bedtime. You can stay up as late as you want watching movies. Number two, don't make up your bed in the morning because you're going to have to get back in it at night. And just drop your clothes in the middle of the floor and just put them on the next morning. A lot easier than trying to find them in the closet or pack them in the shelf and everything. Well, they were good with that. And we had a great week. But I guarantee you, if Bobby had been home, it wouldn't have been that way. She kind of managed her household a little differently than that. I read about an experience that's probably too common in filling out an application or applying for something and always ask for work, your vocation. And when a lady responded, "I'm a mother," said, "Well, we don't have that category in our list to check." And so let's just say you're a housekeeper. Well, I don't know how you respond to that. I met a friend one day. He'd been on a lot of mission trips. We were talking about other mission trips. I said, "Do you have a number where I can stay in contact as we plan this mission trip?" She handed me a business card. Had her name, Human Resources Director for the Thomas family. She had her business card. This entailed what she did. I read about another one who was just really put out at their not accepting housekeeper or mother as a valid vocation, started telling people that she was a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. And if they asked any questions, said, "I have three lab assistants." She didn't tell them they were 3, 5, and 7 years old, but that was her vocation, and she always got admiration about it. Well, Mary and Martha obviously had different personalities. And we go away from the story thinking Mary is the spiritual one. She's the contemplative one. She's the one that had a heart for God. But we do a disservice in dismissing Martha as just not really interested in those sorts of things, but she had a practical faith. A mother was asked one time, don't you get tired of all the household chores and cleaning and you just have to keep doing over and over again, the laundry, 3 meals a day? And she replied, no, I'm building a home. You see, there was a difference in the attitude. It's not whether or not you can get by with what you have to do or don't being done. Your duties are unavoidable. They have to be done. But it's a difference in your attitude whether the work is a blessing or a burden. Bobby has a little tag on her. This is a refrigerator posting on her purse in the kitchen. From Brother Lawrence, a Carmelite monk in the 1600s. A little prayer that says, Lord of all pots and pans and things, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. The time of business does not differ from the time of prayer and in the noise and clatter of my kitchen. I possess God in as great a tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. When we left the mission field to become president of the International Mission Board and moved to Richmond, it was a definite change in lifestyle. I would get up 4:35 in the morning, spend my devotional time, try to get to the office at 7 before others did, or you'd never be behind all day if you didn't get ahead of the workflow and all the decisions and meetings that were taking place. And so when I left immediately after breakfast, Bobby had finished cleaning up after breakfast, and she was usually sitting in the den in a rocking chair or recliner, still in her house shoes and bathrobe and curlers in her hair, with her Bible and her prayer journal. I would come home often in the evening, hassled all day, tired, wanting some respite and rest, and find her at 5 o'clock in the afternoon beginning to vacuum the house, and would think, why don't you already have this done? Why are you just now starting your house cleaning at 5 o'clock? Or nothing would be prepared for supper, and said, oh, I meant to get to the grocery store today. I didn't make it, and so I need to go to the grocery store. I was ready to eat. She hadn't even bought groceries for the day. I just couldn't understand it. I mean, I was trying to be gentle, but what I was wondering is, what have you been doing all day? Until one day, I had to come home. We left just a block up from our office building. And I came home about 10 o'clock, 10:30, to get something. And there she was, still in her rocking chair, in her robe and her hair rollers, with her Bible and her prayer journal. And I realized that I could not have functioned or been any measure of success in my role had there not been someone there praying through the hours of the day for the things that I was dealing with. Or she'd tell me of a staff wife who had just come from the field, their husband joining our staff, and that was just so frustrated because her identity and her role as a missionary has suddenly been taken from her, and she didn't know what to do to her life and how to wait. Or another staff wife who was struggling with a prodigal child and would come by for Bobby to counsel with her and pray with her for hours in the day. Did a lot of hospitality, decorating, providing meals. What has she been doing? She would say when I come home, I don't know what happened to my day. I've got nothing done. Got nothing done? No, she had that work of Mary that gave herself to the main ministry. As I look back on the mission field and realize We baptized more Indonesians that were one to the Lord at Bobby's kitchen table than in all the witnessing I did in the villages. But she wasn't just a Mary. She was a Martha as well. And too many mothers are underappreciated, taken for granted by family, underrated by the world. And I want us this morning to put in perspective what it means to be a mother by looking at the call of Mary, the mother of Jesus, to motherhood. So if you turn in your Bibles back to a few chapters, to the first chapter of Luke, remember when the angel appeared to Mary in chapter 1, we begin reading in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Well, there are three things I think we can note about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Though you're certainly not the mother of the Son of God, but I think all mothers are mothers because, like Mary, they were chosen. Verse 30 says that she had found favor with God. And every mother that gives birth to a child is because of God's favor and should be recognized as a blessing. Now, let me quickly add, this doesn't disparage those who have not been able to have children or even never married and given birth to children or having the blessing or the challenge of motherhood, because the scripture clearly teaches that you receive grace as well. In fact, there's a special grace to remain single. Paul, in the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, even advises virgins to remain a virgin, that they can give themselves fully to the Lord rather than being encumbered with family, but then saying, "But it's an acceptable thing to do." But there is grace for those who are not mothers as well. But it's a unique role to give birth. Of course, as Mary was the crown of creation, the whole idea of motherhood and a wife is to be a helpmate. And men, you just need to realize it's because you couldn't cut it alone. You needed some help. And so that's why we were given wives. But it's a special role because of favor with God. Verse 31 says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." She had been chosen. Now, why is it such a special role to be chosen? Because, as you mothers are well aware, and I'm ill-equipped to give testimony of this, from that point, you discover your life is not about you. A lot of modern wives have struggled with that, giving up careers, the luxury, the freedom, the vacations, the recreation, the fellowship with friends, whenever and whatever, and suddenly a child comes into the family, and it's no longer about you and what you would prefer to do in your lifestyle. You have been chosen to give yourself fully to the child with which God has blessed you. And from that point, the values that you instill in that child, what you invest in your children for their future success and their values, what greater responsibility could there be? Yeah, of course, fathers share in the task, but they're not the ones that spend that time leading a child to know God and to walk with Him. As someone has said, the familiar quote I'm sure you've heard, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Because what your children do, their place in God's plan and in the world is determined by how they're nurtured through their childhood. And woe to the mother that thinks she's only a cook and a housekeeper. It's a responsibility that's greater than any teacher, professor, doctor, or nurse, to nurture your children because you've been chosen of God for that task. But not only was Mary chosen, but we also note that she was called of God. In verse 35, speaking of the birth of Jesus, said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Well, Mary did have a very special, unique calling that came about through the Holy Spirit coming on us. But every mother needs to realize that she too has been called of God. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, when you became a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life and has called you to know God. And you're not just left on your own, but the Holy Spirit is the one who guides you, who gives you wisdom, who gives you strength to persevere through all the tasks. And there's no greater privilege than to be that instrument of God's Holy Spirit within you, to witness to others, to your family, to guide your children in faith to know the Lord, for them to see and understand the love and nature of God because of the love that they see in your life and your care for them. Mary came to this, but also Martha as well, the cook, the housekeeper. Remember when Lazarus died and Jesus came 4 days later, and intentionally, the Jews believed that the spirit of the deceased hovered over the body for 3 days, and he wanted just to make sure that everyone knew he was dead. But Martha encountered him grieved that Jesus did not come as his friend immediately when they called for him. In the 10th chapter of John, the scripture says that Martha, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Listen to Martha's response. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes in the name of the Lord." You see, Martha was a believer. She had faith in God. It wasn't Mary that supersede her in spiritual things, but she represented the right match between them. And because she had Jesus, because she believed, she could deal with the tragedy of her brother's death. She could deal with the stress of the housekeeping and the chores for which she was responsible. She could deal with the problems that came, just as mothers can deal with the problems of child rearing and all of the stress and pressures of caring for family and others. Why? Because you've been called to that task by God's Holy Spirit. And can say, as he did to Mary, the angel to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Yes, it's hard. It's stressful. Constantly. But God is with you. You've been called by his Spirit. But not only are you, as mothers, chosen of God and called of God, but also, like Mary, you're blessed because you're committed to God. In verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done according to your word." What's the implications of this, the role of a mother? You're really successful when you yield it all to the Lord and recognize the childcare, the feeding and the nurture of the infants, the training, the disciplines, all of the household chores are really, as a bondslave to God, fulfilling your calling and your responsibility in dedication to him, allowing him the power of his Spirit to lead, to strengthen, and guide the way it's to be done. You know, I'm confident my mother, my children's mother, when they enter into the Lord's presence, are going to be welcomed with, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You have been faithful over little things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What about you? As a mother, cook, housekeeper, cleaner, disciplinarian, all that goes into housekeeping. Is the Lord going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because you have been chosen for this task? This is the calling on your life. Have you dedicated that task to the Lord to honor him, to be glorified? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this very, very special calling. None of us would be here without mothers. And it may not have been a pleasant journey through all the years. There were stumbling blocks. There were rocks in the road. But Lord, we survived because your hand was upon us. Because your hand was upon our mothers. You enabled them to carry the burden, to juggle the task. You gave them wisdom to nurture us in our walk with the Lord. You enabled them to lead us to faith in you, to be the success that we are in our life. And yes, Lord, we honor our mothers, but Lord, most of all, we worship and honor you for the one who called them to be our mothers, for your calling on their life, for having chosen them, for that unique and special relationship like no other. And Lord, I pray that each of us, not just the mothers who are here, still have children in the home, but each of us would be like Mary and say, as a bondslave of our Lord, all that we do to serve you, to serve our families, is unto you. May we be found as faithful and obedient. in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an appropriate hymn of invitation and commitment, but really a reflection in honor of our mothers. Just as the song, the hymn was written to honor our Lord and His faithfulness, but our mothers, great is thy faithfulness. Would you stand and would you sing this, stand in this time of dedication?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. But changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. If you saw earlier, we're going to have some roses here at the doors. And if you are a mother or you'd like to take one to your mother, please take a rose as you exit. Let's all sing our closing song, Give Me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus.